Live Creative Now, episode 52.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. And I really should add, somebody recently called me a human sparkler, so I should add that to my introduction. I like that a lot. In any case, last episode of Live Creative Now, episode 51, was the second part of a two-part series all about what gets in the way of clearing out clutter. So if you have a clutter problem and you haven't heard either episode 50 or 51, check those two out because they're all about the reasons why we hold on to clutter. Today's episode, episode 52, is about the only difference between you and a real artist, or a real writer, or real musician, or real whatever it is that you don't think that you are real of. I don't know how to say that grammatically correct. Anyway, I remember back in 1994, the first time I went to an art store as an adult. I remember it was 1994 because that was the year that I got married for the first time to my practice husband. And at our wedding, we gave as favors glass votives with candles in them. And they were wrapped with a ribbon with our names and the wedding date and all that stuff. But we had a bunch of them left over. And it occurred to me to get some pretty papers and glue them around the glass votives and then give them to my friends as presents in December. Except that I didn't have any pretty papers, so I drove to the nearest art store. And there used to be this really wonderful art store in downtown Palo Alto, not far from where I lived at the time. And I remember walking in the door of that art store, and the last time I had been in there was when I was a kid, probably with my mom, you know, going to some, I don't know, class that I was taking or something. And I felt like a trespasser because I was not an artist. I didn't belong there. What the heck did I think I was doing? I think I actually started sweating. I felt so like I was going to be found out. It was a really uncomfortable feeling. However, I managed to get past the feeling enough to go find some papers, pick some out, buy them, and the person at the counter wrapped them up in brown craft paper in a roll, and I took them home. And I cut some up, and I glued them around some of the votives. I was starting to play with that, and I'd made maybe two or three or something, and it suddenly occurred to me that if I were to cut some shapes out of the paper before gluing it to the glass, that might make a really neat effect, kind of like a little mini luminaria, those paper lanterns with holes in them with candles inside. So this part really cracks me up because I didn't want to ruin any of the pretty papers that I bought by trying out this idea. And they were big sheets of paper, so I had plenty of paper. But I was definitely in that mindset of, oh, I can't possibly ruin these. So I used the brown craft paper that the papers were rolled up in when I bought them. And because I didn't have an X-Acto knife at the time, I didn't have a razor, you know, a cutting knife, a craft knife of any kind, because of course I wasn't an artist, I actually pulled a paring knife out of the knife block in the kitchen and I got a wooden cutting board from the kitchen and I cut the shapes out of the paper with the paring knife, which really kind of hurt my finger. But I really liked this. I liked this paper cutting thing. And actually my first husband and I had commissioned an artist to make a ketubah for us. We had a Jewish wedding ceremony, and a ketubah is a Jewish marriage contract, and it's a traditional part of every Jewish wedding. And we had an artist make us one, and the first artist that we talked to, who we did not end up going with, incorporated paper cutting into a lot of her work. And I just loved that there was something about that art form that really, really compelled me. But we didn't get paper cutting in our ketubah. We had another ketubah, which was absolutely gorgeous. But I had this sort of hunger for paper cutting. And I didn't realize that it was something that I could do myself. And all of a sudden, with a paring knife and some craft paper, I tried this thing. And I got really excited about doing more of it. And I, of course, I couldn't keep doing it with a paring knife because that was not sustainable. So a day or two later, I drove back to the art store and I bought an X-Acto knife. And I still felt like I was trespassing. But, you know, if something is really compelling enough, it really helps you get past that imposter complex, at least enough to spend, you know, $4.95 on a new tool. And I also confess that I felt really guilty about spending that $4.95 for something, you know, so frivolous, right? When I wasn't earning any money at the time. I didn't have a job at the time. Anyway, that is how it all started. That is the origin story of how I ultimately became an artist. And what I want to share with you is that, yes, that is the start, but I could not call myself an artist for at about two full years of making a lot of art. I was exploring and creating and, you know, doing all kinds of artistic things, which I didn't consider to be art, but I was making things with my hands, and this stuff that I was doing was expanding my life so much. It was bringing me so much joy and really feeding me. I did all kinds of different things. I was taking all kinds of classes in different art classes and writing and ceramics and all kinds of different things, calligraphy. But I wasn't an artist. I was not an artist with a capital A or even with a lowercase a. I just liked making things, right? And when I finally did start calling myself an artist, what was the difference? What was the real difference? Was it that I had buyers? Was that the thing that enabled me to consider myself an artist? And, you know, I do have to say that it is awfully validating for sure when somebody pays you for something that you've made. But I think what was really going on was something even deeper than money. It was entitlement. Entitlement. Now, I have spent the past 6 years of writing and blogging and podcasting and teaching and consulting and coaching and everything, all with the goal of helping people live full color lives. And it wasn't until sometime last year that I really honed in on the only real difference between artists and everyone else, or more specifically, between those who self-identify as artists or musicians or writers or, you know, whatever, and those who don't. And that difference comes down to one simple thing, and it's not talent. It has nothing to do with talent, and it's not whether or not you get paid for it. It has nothing to do with that either. It's entitlement. Those of us who don't identify as artists, musicians, writers, etc., who cannot claim the label, even if we create things, or can't even let ourselves create things, we simply do not feel entitled. And I say those of us instead of those of you or you, because I've been there. I spent a lot of my life there, and some days I'm still there when my imposter complex gremlins are rearing their ugly heads and telling me things like, you're not a real artist. When's the last time you sold a painting? Or, you know, when I was making my living as a ketubah artist, you're not a real artist because real artists have show their work in New York galleries, and you're not a gallery fine artist, so you're not a real artist. Or you're not a real musician, because if you were a real musician, you'd be making music 6 or 8 hours a day, and you'd be performing regularly, many times a week. That's what real musicians do. Therefore, you're not a real musician. Or you're not a real writer. Where's your book? Where's your novel? I mean, even I have an ebook. Even if I had published a book and people had paid me for it, I'd still have, I guarantee you, I will still have imposter complex gremlins telling me that I'm not a real writer because of some other thing that I haven't achieved. And on and on and on. It never stops. And it comes down to entitlement. It's that sense of permission. This is really the only thing that separates non-creatives and non-artists from those who claim those titles. I don't have permission to create because it's frivolous and self-indulgent. Or I don't have permission to create because I don't make money from it. Or I don't have permission to create because I'm not nearly as good as everybody else. So I don't have that permission. There are so many variations on that. And it may come out as, I don't have time. I don't have time to create. That's, oh my gosh, that was my excuse for over a decade. But let me ask you this. If that is you, I don't have time to create, who is policing that time? I would wager good money that that person has the same name as you. So, if entitlement is the problem, lack of entitlement, how do we create it? How do we create entitlement? And I think that the way you create entitlement is the same way you do anything important, that you achieve any important goal. That is, you set your mind to it. You set the intention and you practice and you fake it till you make it. I remember the most god-awful, humiliating conversation that I had with a couple at, it was some event for my synagogue. I don't even know what the event was. And it was right around the time when I was really diving into art and calligraphy. After 15 years of truly believing that I was not a creative person, that I was a non-creative person. And the woman in the couple asked me what I did. And my response was something like, I make things with calligraphy and I style myself as sort of an artist. Oh my God. I style myself as sort of an artist? I mean, what does that even mean? It was a freaking apology. It was an apology. And it was horribly embarrassing. I just wanted to disappear. I'm sure that I turned beet red because I'm a redhead and I have very pale skin and I blush really easily. And I wanted to disappear into the wallpaper. And it was this painful moment, I think, that made me realize that I had to stop apologizing. I didn't even realize I was apologizing. But that is what we do when we don't claim our own entitlement. And I had to stop apologizing for not being more advanced than I was in that moment, right? Oh, well, this isn't very good. I've only been doing this for a year, blah, blah, blah. I had to stop apologizing for trying something new and wanting to be really good at it and not being that good as I wanted yet, I mean, when do we ever get as good as we want? As far as I'm concerned, I'm always reaching to get better. I had to stop apologizing for being human. And this is what I want you to practice in your own life. Stop apologizing for being human. Watch for those moments when you're not feeling entitled. Remember my golden formula, self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good? This is the self-awareness piece. Watch for those moments when you're not feeling entitled. Take note of them. What's going on? What is triggering that feeling for you? What's the environment? What's the situation? Really notice that. From a neutral position, no judgment, notice it and then lean into it. Lean into those moments. Push back. Who is telling you that you're not entitled? Who is telling you that you don't have permission? Now, quite possibly, at one time in your life, somebody did tell you, a teacher or a parent, or it could have been another kid. Somebody might have really wounded you. Somebody might have really shamed you around a creative act. Brené Brown, who has studied shame for many, many years, has shared that in her research of the, I don't know how many thousands of people she has talked to, over 42% can remember a specific incident from childhood in which they were so shamed around an act of creativity that it forever changed how they feel about themselves as creators. A choir director once told my mom, just mouth the words, honey. We don't want to hear you. How wounding is that? You can't draw. Horses aren't blue. Who do you think you are? Whatever. And it's, excuse me, it's not only in childhood either. During my first year in college, I was, 19? 18 or 19, might have even been 18 at that point. I was walking down the street one night with a group of friends from my dorm, and one of the boys, who I later, much later, realized he was probably trying to flirt with me, one of the other girls and I were singing some popular song that was on the radio at the time. We were singing really loud, you know, we're like 18, 19 years old, we feel like we're on top of the world. And this boy turned to me and he said, "Who told you you could sing?" I didn't sing in public for over a year because of that statement. I'm sure he had no idea the effect that it had on me. But we get wounded really easily. And those shaming incidents stick with us. But the good thing is that we can overcome them because humans are resilient. We are really, really resilient. Now, it takes work, it takes intention, and it takes a lot of practice. But I am telling you right now that you are entitled. You have permission to play. You have permission to create in whatever medium or genre or format or whatever you want. You get to do it. Now, I also know that my saying that is not enough. But ultimately, you are the only one who can write your permission slip. So start writing it right now. Start writing your permission slip. You are entitled. You got this. And that's it. That's a wrap. Before I sign off, just a quick reminder that if you're getting value out of this podcast, and I hope you are, it would mean so much to me if you would hop on over to iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and review. If you don't know how to do that, just go to livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review, where I have posted step-by-step instructions for how to leave a review on iTunes. That's livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. So With that, until next time, thanks again for joining me, and go get creating.
Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.